What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
The one and only Darren Green Show. All right, now, what did I tell you? I told you I was going to get back on here and say what I need to say, okay? Because, girl, the Oscars done dropped, and, girl, I got a lot to say. I got a lot to bring up. We got a lot to talk about. We about to get into that right now. Hey, how y'all doing? This is the Darren Green Show, your weekly dose of pop culture news, music, social media gossip, and reality TV. Be sure that if you are watching this on YouTube to leave your thoughts in the comments. And if you're not subscribed to the channel, girl, what are we doing? Subscribe to that goddamn channel and to our audio listeners because we are on the audio podcast today. Hey, how y'all doing? Be sure to leave a rate and review and all that good stuff. I told you I was going to start incorporating you guys into the other content that I have going on. This is going to be a lot smaller of an episode, of course, because we're just going to be talking about the Oscars. I don't have much to talk about. We're not going to get into all every single category. I'm only going to talk about the people that won, people that should win, what people was wearing. And to the words to Issa Rae, I'm rooting for everybody black. And that means we talking about everybody black and people that I care about that's outside of that sector, okay? So, it's a lot. Where do we even start? I guess we can start with the fact that we had Conan as the goddamn host. Do I have anything on him, child? Hold on. Conan being the host, we can get into that a little bit. And as crazy as this may sound, because I was dragging him for the last couple of years because of that situation, and we all know who we talk about, Chris Rock. I kind of miss Chris Rock. Like, ever since Chris Rock stopped me hosting these damn shows, I'm like, the hosting is a lot. It's boring. Like, I always felt like Conan was a very obnoxious. It's not that it's boring. Let me just not say, because Conan is not boring. Like, he's definitely the type. I'm not laughing. I'm not like my stomach is not hurting after laughing for 5 minutes, you know, after watching a skit of his or anything like that. Like, he has that chuckle humor, you know, it's like, that's all you get. Like, it's not funny. I'm not falling out my chair or anything like that. It's very long drawn and on. And he uses other people and other elements to really fuel his comedy. Like when he had Adam Sandler do that little bit, which I thought was stupid. And other things that he would do, like he did like a whole, I hate when they do this at the Oscars, when they do a funny musical thing, like not cool, not funny. His monologue was just, I felt like honestly Jimmy Kimmel's was even better. Jimmy Kimmel's monologue was way better. Okay, let's be very clear. I think the only thing that really interests me about or humored me a little bit about his hosting was when he made this little thing right here, child. Girl, listen, I know y'all already heard it.
Halfway through the show, which means it's time for Kendrick Lamar to come out and call Drake a...
That's literally the only joke that he said on there that had me like, okay, it was more of a chuckle, more of a... And that's about it. His opening monologue was trashy. It's not trashy. It just didn't do anything for me. I don't care. Yeah, we need somebody else hosting, y'all. Conan ain't it, honey. He ain't it, okay? And I'm sorry if y'all get into Conan. My bad. That's just my opinion. Comedy is subjective. But there was a writer that actually made the joke, because I saw this article here on TMZ. It says Conan O'Brien joke writer. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're a comedian. You got joke writers. Oh, that's horrible. I'm pretty sure Jimmy Kimmel would never. Well, I think Jimmy Kimmel got writers. I want to say he has writers, but definitely not no damn Chris Rock. But y'all quote me on that. But it says that Conan O'Brien's joke writer, Kendrick Lamar, Kendrick Drake, pedo bit, not personal, just a pop culture reference. Okay, so, okay. I guess he made the tweet here, wrote the Kendrick Lamar joke, and bet our executive producers $50 that it would kill, just made $50. Yeah, that was definitely the highlight of Conan's hosting, because nobody cared about anything else. I was watching it with my mom, too, because she was like, oh, my goodness, can he get off the goddamn stage? Like, she was waiting on it. And she don't watch the Oscars. I had to make her watch the Oscars with me, because I'm like, I ain't going to be watching Oscars by myself. Look, I want to watch it. Let's watch it. And also, the cable is not hooked up to my TV in the room, so I had to go downstairs anyway. So I'm like, oh, I got to take over the TV for a couple hours, child. Yeah. How I felt about the Kendrick joke, I mean, there were some people that were kind of upset about it. Somebody said the fact that they're treating Drake worse than Diddy. There was no Diddy jokes like that. And you know what? That could have been the perfect opportunity. No, there's no. And I still feel like the Drake joke should have still been there. OK, I don't care what anybody say. I said what I said. The Drake joke should have still been there. But yeah, we should have had a little bit more Diddy jokes. I mean, come on, let's be. Why y'all letting up on Diddy a little bit? He ain't does not deserving of a drag during an Oscars event. But I don't know. Maybe they. Well, here's the thing. I think Diddy's situation is a little sensitive, and it's a lot of victims. It's a lot of artists and people, public figures and entertainers that have suffered at the hands of Diddy. So I think it could have just been in poor taste, but these comedians that get on these platforms and these award shows, poor taste kind of just gets thrown out the window, that whole, oh, that's in poor taste. Because I mean, you brought up, I mean, you said the word, the P word, referring to Drake. So I mean, what's the difference of you making digs at Diddy? I don't know. I still feel that, look, say what you want to say. I definitely feel like if Chris Rock was on there, and this is not me saying I'm a fan of Chris Rock, I still think he's problematic as hell, and he deserved that damn Oscar slap that shook the world, right? But I definitely feel like he would have definitely made some jokes on Diddy, and it would have been it's something to laugh to, child. If you're going to sit up there and talk for the next 5 minutes straight, at least give us something to, some type of pop culture reference that happened in the last year, child, like the Diddy situation. I don't know. I didn't like his hosting. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to come back, because they usually keep them on. They have them come back a lot. So we're going to have some more years of Conan. I really didn't care for. We can get into the looks. I have what I have saved on my computer, or my saves, are what I call like the best dress, because I don't think that anybody, I don't have nobody to drag for their outfits, because I felt like you either did really well or you did really safe. You get what I'm saying? It was a lot of safe, like Zoe Zandalala. We're going to get into her ass a little bit later, but let's get into the outfits. When I say Lizzo, oh my God, like she looks so good. She looks so good. The hair tee, body tee, the fit is also tee as well. Everything is tee. Like, she just looked like Arizona tea right now. Like, it's giving tea. And I'm just so happy for her and her new little transformation. And she got a man on her side, too. Where that man? Where that fine man at? Where that fine man at? Okay, who this? Who is Mike Wright? Okay, Mr. Wright. Okay, Liz don't know how to keep herself a man, child. Now, she know how to keep herself a man. Let's be very clear on that. Shout out to her. Look, Lil Nas X, it wasn't too much. You know what I'm saying? And let's be clear. I love when he does too much. I'm a too much type of bitch. Okay. Do too much if it makes sense, if it looked good. But this was kind of simple and I liked it. It's very, it complements a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? And he fine little piece of chocolate little fan. Oh, I wanted to bring this up too, because now Oprah Winfrey and Whoopi Goldberg, they spoke on Quincy Jones because he did pass recently. They did a little bit of a tribute. I believe also Queen Latifah, she performed. But I just want to talk about this fit that Whoopi did. Okay, Whoopi, like who's the designer? Who did this? This electrifying dress, this blue and oh my God. And you know, a lot of people going to be like, oh my God, that Ozempic. People like to throw around Ozempic child because they ain't got nothing original to say about somebody when they have a drastic weight loss. But I feel like her weight loss is kind of gradual. So like, the Ozempic comments is so corny now, like it's so dated, but like she does look good. Like she looked like the Whoopi that I grew up with, child. Like the Whoopi back in the day. Really good. Oprah Winfrey is wearing a pantsuit. Yay. Anyway, so yeah, that was one of the better outfits. I love Cynthia Erivo. Cynthia. They really robbed you of an Oscar. Cause I don't know who that girl is that won the best leading actress. But you carried movies. You carried the movies last year. There was no other movie that gave best leading actress other than Cynthia Erivo as Elphaba. Okay. I at first I was going to get up here and talk smack and all this other stuff. And third, at the end of the day, it's the Oscars. I was saying this to my mom yesterday. Like I was like, I really want to know who are these people that vote every year, honestly. Like, who are these people? What demographics do they come from? What backgrounds? How old are they? Because at the end of the day, child, it's the same thing. The Oscars award critically acclaimed. They award the movies that are not popular, but the movies that say something that has a deeper meaning or whatever the case is. They never award the popular movies, but sometimes the popular, like the big blockbuster movies, they are worthy of an Oscar. You get what I'm saying? I just thought that it was, you know, Cynthia Erivo, she really gave us a good performance. Her and Ariana. Ariana Grande was also robbed of Best Supporting Actress. You mean to tell me, and we can get into Zoe Saldana in a little bit. I'm going to get into her ass a little bit later. But I definitely felt like Ariana Grande should have gotten supportive actress as Cynthia should have got the best leading actress. It's a no-brainer. But I really want to know who these people are that makes the decisions, because it's very flawed and it's showing. And that's the thing, that's the problem I have with a lot of these prestigious award shows. They give it to the wrong people, wrong movies or wrong whatever. But then years later, they'll renege and be like, okay, well now we're going to give them the award now. And then honestly, at that point, they're not really deserving of it, because that's not really the thing that should have got them the Oscar. They should have got the Oscar from the last movie. You get what I'm saying? There's never the right time and moment that they give out these awards. It's just, okay, well, we snubbed this person like 5 times, so let's give them an award, even though the category that they're in for, maybe they weren't that deserving of it. I don't know if that makes sense, but whatever. I just feel it should run like the Grammys. I think the Grammys, like where they have the Recording Academy, anybody that has been nominated for a Grammy, they have the right to vote. You get what I'm saying? So it's more of an artist choice awards. I think it should be an actor's choice awards for the Oscars. I don't trust that this small panel of judges really can decide what is the best movie of the year because of the receipts. I mean, look at the material. They have not awarded anything that was to me was the best movie of 2024. And it was a lot of movies that came out, but it really wasn't a lot of good movies. And the movies that were rewarded, I'm like, okay, fine. Okay, it's artsy fartsy. It's definitely critically acclaimed. And I can't really speak too much on the movies that won because I didn't watch a lot of the movies that were nominated. But yeah, no, it's a no for me, dog. They should have definitely gave Cynthia an Ari them awards. Okay, let me give myself a bomb, because girl, that shit, it just pissed me off, I should say. Speaking of Ariana Grande and Cynthia, first of all, they opened the show. I was so mad at you damn Oscars. Y'all didn't tell me they was gonna be the opening act. okay, and we can transition into the performances. Actually, no, I don't want to transition to the performances yet. Because there's still other outfits that I want to talk about. I feel like I'm going all over the place. Sorry. I'm so sorry if this is like not a like structured episode. I just have a lot of things to talk about. I love their, like I said, I love their performance. It's Cynthia Erivo doing Defying Gravity. I feel like this performance right here, it really mirrored the original cast, like the original, I forgot, I think the India Menzel and the other girl that played Glinda. I'm sorry if I don't know, I'm shooting blanks here, but it kind of mirrored that. Ariana Grande also performed Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I was like, okay, with a little, you know, Judy Garland, shout out to them. Moreover, on some of these outfits as we conclude on this part of the episode, I love Halle Berry's. It definitely, what my mom said, if she sit wrong, she gonna cut herself. I'm like, y'all need, mom, you need to stop. That was a cute little outfit. Now look, Julia Fox, that's one of Kanye West's exes and stuff. I actually like Julia Fox. I think she's very interesting. She's a very weird lady, and I like that about her. Like, something about her is just very weird. They said she channeled the Bianca Sensory, like with the full nude and coverings. But my thing is this, quiet as a skeptic, and I came for Bianca Sensory and Kanye for that whole thing. I think it's still kind of trashy, and I think it's still kind of whatever you want to call it, deplorable. Fine, I guess. But if you're gonna go that route and show up nude, do it in an artistic way. I love how the hair is like covering her parts a little bit, barely, because we still got some blurries. But this is kind of avant-garde. Like, this is kind of like art almost. If you're gonna come out and not wear no clothes, do it like artistically. And I think she does it. Okay, look, I might sound a little biased because I like Julia Fox, but I don't know. This seems less trashier than Bianca Sensory, if that makes any sense. I'm sorry. So shout out to her. A lot of the best dressed people, they were not at the event. Like, I feel like, because these are the Vanity Fair after party looks, like the one I just showed you with Lizzo, with her, Julia Fox. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people like stepped their game up once they got to the after party. This is Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade. They're fine asses. Anyway, yeah, a lot of the outfits were a lot better at the after party. Megan Thee Stallion. Okay, girl. Okay, showing the breasts. And like I said, if you're going to show your body, do it artistically. This is what that is. I mean, she looks good. Body T. They sitting. Okay. They is sitting up here with the little pasties on. So, and I love the updo. I love that it's like ginger too. I love, you know, one of these days, I feel like I'll be a really good ginger. Like that red right there will look good on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to try it. One of these days, I'm going to dye my hair. But this looks good. I love the ginger with the green that complements. Yeah. Yeah. And that is my 411 on the outfits. We can get into some of the awards. Like I said, we're not going to talk about everybody, but we are going to talk about some people. As I was going to talk specifically on the performances, we know that Queen Latifah did Ease On Down the Road. That was one of Quincy Jones's songs. I believe he produced it, which was interesting. They did a James Bond performance, and it featured like Raya, Doja Cat, or I think her name is Raya. And then like the girl from The Substance that played like a character that we'll get into. Honestly, the performance-wise, Cynthia and Aria was eating. I don't know what Doja was doing. And me and my mom was going back and forth. We were like, actually, no, the song that she was singing, that's how it's supposed to sound. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. Look, I'm young. I don't know. This song did not compliment her voice, her vocals at all. And I think Doja really can sing. I'm never going to be like, Doja can't sing, because she does. This song in particular just did not capture her voice well. It didn't really connect well to me. Y'all can drag me. That's my opinion. My opinion don't mean nothing outside of me. Everybody got their opinion. I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel it. The look was cute. I love this look. Had this nice little, she had a little, the short fade, but the vocals just was not there. I'm being really honest. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's get into some of the awards that we can conclude with talking about that, because that's the only thing else to talk about. I'm going to get right into my biggest issue with the awards, okay? And that is Zoe Saldana. I was very, okay, disappointed in the Academy's decision in this award. Very disappointed. I didn't see this movie. What's it called? Emilia Perez. Didn't see the movie. Not planning on seeing the movie. I saw clips. Apparently, it's about, like, I did some, a bit of research. It's about this cartel that hires this lawyer to do this unusual thing. And apparently, the damn CEO of the cartel is transitioning into a man, into a woman. It deals with a lot. It's a Mexican culture, but it's also trans culture. Ah, girl, I don't know, girl. It sound a mess. The clips that I watched looked a mess. The singing and music in there sound a mess. It makes no sense that this is the best supporting actress. Makes no sense at all. Okay, over Glinda? Over Popular? Like, what are we doing? And this is where I say, because I think Wicked is more popular and it's the blockbuster film, that the Oscars kind of highbrow it. And it's, well, it's not artsy fartsy. It's just, it's popular. Who cares about it? It's not really telling a story, or it's not really innovating anything. And I'm just like, yeah, it definitely innovated. It was more innovative than this. Okay, so Zoe's, she accepts her award and she talks about how I'm the first, or it's so funny how y'all, she want to sit there and say, oh, I'm the first of Dominican descent, child. You're Dominican, you're black, you're this, you're that. Who do you want to be, honey? You was Nina Simone a couple years ago. Honey, you wearing blackface and a prosthetic onion nose. Okay, like, she's a weirdo. I don't like her. I also don't like, and I'm sorry if this sounds a little biased, but you know what? I am going to be a little biased. Okay, I am. All right? And when she was asked about the criticism that this film had received, and I had to do a little bit of research on this, apparently Emilia Perez is not received well by the Mexican community. A lot of people in the Mexican community believe that this movie is in poor taste of Mexican culture. They felt like the portrayal of Mexico was, it ain't right, it's offensive. And people were talking about this. It got to the point where the director even made a response, and the director was even sounding condescending, just like how Zoe sounds in this clip that I'm about to show y'all. Yeah, like, this, basically, this is what she said when there was a reporter, a Mexican reporter, that actually asked her about, you know, what is your thoughts on the criticism of this film? Let's get into it.
Zoe, I'm Cristina Ibanez. I'm from Webedia, representing Senza Cine, which is a Mexican outlet. Mm-hmm. I gotta say that it has been, a lot of things has been said about the movie, about trans people, about empowering women, but less has been said about Mexico, which is the heart of it. Mm-hmm. So what would you say about this, the heart of this movie, but also about the topic, who is really hurtful for us Mexicans?
First of all, I'm very sorry that you and so many Mexicans felt.
Notice how she said, I'm very sorry how you thought. I'm sorry that you were offended. I'm sorry that you weren't included, child. Okay, girl.
Defended. That was never our intention. We spoke and we came from a place of love, and I will stand by that.
Okay, girl.
I don't share your opinion. Mm-hmm. For me, the heart of this movie was not Mexico. We weren't making a film about a country. We were making a film about four women.
Yes.
And these women could have been Russian, could have been Dominican, could have been black from Detroit, could have been from Israel, could have been from Gaza. And these women are still very universal women that are struggling every day at trying to survive systemic oppression and trying to find their most authentic voices. So
okay, I'm going to stop you right there, child, because I actually don't have anything else. Girl, first of all, here is the actual overview of the movie, just so I can make sure that's clear, because I tried to say it in the beginning, but I was paraphrasing. This is a Mexican lawyer is offered an unusual job to help a notorious cartel boss retired and transition in living as a woman, fulfilling a long felt desire. Okay. This could have been about black people in Detroit. A cartel boss I mean, I kind of get what she was trying to say. You could have filled the blank race-wise with whatever scenario, and it would have played out how it was going to play out. I don't think that was the conversation, even as the reporter is saying they don't feel included. I don't think inclusion was the issue. I think it was the portrayal, because it did portray, from my understanding, a little bit of Mexican culture was implemented into this. And the criticism was that it was in poor taste. Now, what this reporter is asking is that there was no inclusion. I don't think that's the case. I think it's the other way around. But for her to sit there and say this could have been anybody, and then for her to invoke like freaking Israel, this could have been people from Israel or Gaza on some performative type shit, like that right there. And that's why people in the comments was like, it's real condescending. It's giving, you're upset. Not, I'm sorry, but I don't agree with that. I think no comment should have sufficed. And that's the thing, because these actors don't know about shit. These actors in general. Okay, they get their lines, they play the play, they do what they gotta do, get their award if they win, get their money, and dip. I would have been like, no comment. I have no comment. Because at the end of the day, and fine, if you would have been like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, they probably would have still dragged you if you would have said no comment. But I felt like this response was even worse. This response really hurt at your case a lot. And that's why people don't really mess with you like they, I guess you want them to mess with you, because it's just, it's very condescending. It was very snarky. Also, for her to sit there and say, oh, well, I'm sorry that you were offended. Nothing said should have sufficed. Okay. Get your award. Ask the other questions. Be like, look, I'm not answering that question, or no comment. I feel like this is like I feel like this is not the place. And we can have that sit down, because at the end, she did kind of come together and was like, well, I'm willing to have that conversation with Mexicans and stuff like that. That's cool. I would have been like, look, I have no comment on the matter, but I'm willing to have this conversation for the foreseeable futures and stuff like that. Look, they still would have dragged you. No matter what you would have said, somebody would have dragged you. But that shit that you said, what? Like, that was worse. Oh, my God. And that's why Ariana Grande should have won. Damn. Hoo child. Anyway, let's conclude with talking about the other winners, right? Because there were some that I wanted to mention. I don't really care about Best Picture. Best leading role, actor in a leading role. Surprised it didn't go to Timothée Chalamet, because they really was, the way the media was really like promoting Timothée Chalamet, he had won another award and he spoke highly of other actors and actresses. Like, I really thought they was going to give it to him, but better luck next time. Actor in a supporting role. Yeah, I didn't really care about that. Actress in leading role. Like I said, they gave it to Mikey Madison in Anora. I didn't see the movie, so I can't really judge based on that. I believe actress in the supporting role, that's Zoe. Animated film feature Flo won out of Inside Out 2. That's what pissed me off. And this is again where I say that the popularity, like, Oscars don't normally like to award popularity, but Inside Out was a freaking masterpiece. Inside Out 2, excuse me. The first one too. One and two. Okay, let's be very clear. This was a masterpiece. You get what I'm saying? Out of all the other animated films that came out, now I didn't see Wallace and Gromit, and I used to watch that when I was a kid, so I did not even know they came out with a movie. But I will be watching that soon. But Inside Out 2, child, that was a therapy session. Okay, I was almost literally in tears watching that movie, okay? Especially the first one. Now, Wicked did win Best Costume Design. I forgot to mention that earlier, so we can mention that now. He was the first Black person to win in that category. So it was Best Costume and Design, which at the end of the day, like, girl, I'm glad Wicked won something, because yes, the costume design was T. Okay. And I just knew something about it. And I said it when he won too. I was like, I just knew somebody Black was behind some of them garments. Okay. Let's be very clear. So I was so happy to see that. Best Directing, Anora. I ain't care about that. Feature film. It's certain award categories that I really do care for, and that's why I stay up for, because I watch the highlights after a certain time. I'm like, girl, I gotta go to work at 7 p.m. So I ain't got time for none of that. Let me see. There was other stuff that I wanted. I thought Wicked got something else. Like, I thought, so Wicked only got the costume design. Oh, yeah, Wicked did win best production design. Yeah, that was, yeah. Production design, great. Got that shit looking like Oz. Yeah, I knew they was going to win for something. Best live action short film, I'm Not a Robot. Okay. Sound, Dune 2. Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah. And visual effects, too. Dune got it for that as well. Seems like Anora got a lot of stuff. But it's not showing here, but also, like, The Substance. Let me tell you something. I watched The Substance. They won for best practical effects, or I think it was like makeup and practical effects, or whatever the case is. But they won for that, and it is definitely rightfully deserved. Because when I tell you that damn movie gave me, girl, I was literally hacking the entire time. That's how disgusted I was with what they created, child. It was a good movie, but I'm never watching that again, child. And with that's pretty much it of my thoughts on the awards. I think award season is done for a minute. So you guys will tell me what y'all think in the comments, and we'll leave on that. Okay. See you guys next week for the next episode. Actually, this makes 299, if I'm not mistaken, because I believe I just dropped 298 on Monday. So the next episode will be the 300th episode. So kudos to me.
Good for
girl. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I want to have some people on or have a section where I bring the best of. It's 300 episodes, child. Oh my God, I did this 300 times. Girl, I'm so crazy. Anyway, see y'all next time.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.